Irreverent. Entertaining. Cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. Today is Monday, April 6th. We're back in the studio after not really a long weekend. Did it seem long to you?
Kind of.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did you do a lot of stuff?
I did.
Okay, that's why it seems long to you.
Yes.
To me, it flew by.
Well, the holidays, I feel like, also added an element of feeling longer.
I think,
because holidays do that. They put you in a different, like, mode.
Right. They do. They do. And we had two holidays over the weekend.
Yes.
So that definitely put me in the mood for holidays. But, you know. So, well, we had a beautiful weekend. I mean, the weather was just amazing.
Yeah.
You know. And they're saying it might rain tomorrow, actually. So.
Oh, wow.
That might be pretty cool. But, you know, they're already talking about saving on water and things like this. They're going to really implement some serious things. You know?
Yeah. They're going to charge you if you use too much of it.
I think so, yeah, which is a good thing. You know, I mean, people take too long in the shower, I think.
Yes.
You know?
And I think people also are just used to, like, running water and not thinking about it.
Right.
I'll admit, when I brushed my teeth in the past, I used to just leave the water running while I was brushing.
Right.
But it doesn't make sense to do that.
It really doesn't. And people do that when they shave, too. I don't. You know, I start and stop every time I need.
Yeah. I mean, I had to train myself not to do that with brushing my teeth. So now I don't. But I think that, you know, until I became conscious of it, it wasn't something I ever thought about.
Right. You see, that's the thing. I think about water all the time, and I try to save as much as I can. You know, it's not like I go out of my way, but at the same time, I've just developed certain habits where I don't waste a lot of water. You know?
Yeah, well, that's
even
good.
With dishes and stuff, you know, I put them in the dishwasher. You know, I rinse each one before I put it in. Also, on and off, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, yeah, I guess it becomes a habit, and then it's okay, you know.
Yeah.
So, but they're not going to start with that. They're going to start with people's lawns and, you know, and farmers and things like that. You know,
right.
People that
bigger
really
fish
use,
to fry.
Exactly. People that use a lot of water.
Restaurants, too, are not offering water anymore unless you request it.
Good. That's the way it should be. They always give me water. I don't even drink it.
Most people don't.
Right. So they should ask. Definitely they should ask.
Yeah.
Always, not just now. But, you know, that's what they do.
Well, if all the restaurants save water, I mean, that's a big difference, too.
It really would be, you know.
More so than I think. Well, no, I think that plus people not being wasteful, I think, could really help.
Yeah.
So.
No, people need to be aware of it. And I think once they make us aware of it, people are going to watch what they do.
Yes.
You know, and we always take water for granted, but I really don't know what's going to happen. I mean, the lakes, everything is like the, you know. So, yeah. So, in a few minutes, we're going to be talking to an author from Israel. He's going to be calling us directly from there.
From Israel?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's going to be 8 p.m. there when he calls, 8:15. And he posted something on our Facebook page, and I saw that, and it grabbed my attention because it's a novel that he wrote about terrorism and, you know, Israelis and Palestinians and all kinds of stuff. So it really grabbed me. And he used to be in the Secret Service also. So we're going to find out from him exactly what he did.
Cool.
You know, but his book is doing very well, and I'm happy for him, you know. So that's going to happen in a few minutes. So tell us a little bit about your... I totally would have forgotten, but this morning I was listening to our replay, and I remembered you said you were going to your friends for Seder,
yes.
Right? But you didn't plan on having like a really Seder dinner.
No, we did not.
It's just going to be a plain dinner. So you guys didn't read anything from the book or anything like that?
We sort of combined dinners. It was me and my best friend and then her neighbors that live below her, who I'm friends with too. So basically, we each were going to do our own dinners. And then we said, well, let's have one dinner together. but we each made different things and then sort of combined them. But before we went downstairs to eat with them, my best friend and I did a Seder. We like read from the Haggadah.
Wow.
And did that. Yeah.
That's pretty cool. You see, it's more than we did. We barely read. We were just so hungry because we had to start it late because, I decided to do the last couple hours on Friday night as far as the shows here. Mm-hmm. So everybody had to wait for me till 9:15.
Oh, my gosh.
By then, everybody's starving, you know?
Yeah.
So, and plus, you know, I mean, it depends. Some people are just like not big on the tradition and things like that, you know? I mean, I was raised with pretty much everything traditional, but I sort of like drifted away from it because, I mean, it's fun for kids, you know? Kids need to be socialized that way. But for adults, it's like, okay, whatever, you know?
I mean, my family's big on it.
Yeah.
Because it is tradition, and I mean, we're also big on the holidays in general.
Right.
So we do as much as we can. I mean, we're not religious, and we're not, you know, by the book, like, you know, it's not a long service by any means. Right. I didn't even have a Seder plate. But I do like tradition as a whole because it's something you can count on. It's something that's the same every year. It's something that, like, you and your family have memories doing.
Right.
And so I really like doing it.
Yeah. Well, holidays are cool. There's no doubt about it, you know. And when you think everybody celebrates it the same around the world, it sort of unites people.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I also don't care if other people don't do it. It's, you know, their prerogative. Right. But we as a family, and we do it.
Yeah, so. Yeah. See, my family of origin is more traditional. But the new family I have here is, they weren't traditional, you know. So, but I go along with it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So some people are just too, they do it too religiously. And that's not for me.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, let me eat quickly. Because you do it every year. I mean, I've done it for so many years.
Right. Yeah,
but it's fun, I guess. Holidays are cool.
Yeah. And I mean, I like to remember what the holidays mean.
Yeah.
So if I have to do that once a year, that's okay with me.
Yeah. And Passover is important because in the Haggadah, God tells, you know, the Hebrews a million times how he delivered them from slavery, you know, because it's all about freedom.
Right.
And that's what Passover is about, you know. So So that's what you celebrate, and I think that's a good thing to celebrate.
I also think right now with, like, what's going on in the world, to remember that we have freedom.
Right.
And to appreciate that.
And there are
people... that still do not have freedom.
Yeah, and being enslaved.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I can't believe this, you know, all the stuff that's happening in the Middle East now with ISIS and stuff. I mean, I keep talking about it because I keep reading new books about it, but they enslave... And that's the thing, is that some women travel there, young women, to be brides,
right,
or to fight. But, you know, and we were talking about this, you know, that some people may be confused, some people may be, you know, they feel marginalized from society, things like that. So there's a million reasons why somebody would go there.
Yep.
But, you know.
But I also celebrated Easter.
You did celebrate Easter. Did you go to church?
No, I had brunch with my friends.
Right. So how did you celebrate it in that way?
We just had brunch.
Okay. So that's a celebration.
Yes, because it's doing something together on a holiday.
Okay.
Yeah, it was really nice. We just ate a lot, hung out, relaxed.
Yeah.
And then I...
Did you go out to eat?
No, a friend made brunch.
Okay.
I helped a little bit. And then we just hung out, and then I went home and relaxed and, like, took care of my apartment and all that, and then I went to the Magic Castle for dinner.
Yeah, you were going to go. And how did that go?
It went really well.
Really? You said it was going to be a long experience. How long were you there?
We were there from, like, 5:45 until 10:30.
Well, okay. Well, that's not too bad, but I mean, it is pretty long.
I mean, it's like 5 hours.
Yeah, wow, so that's long.
Yeah, because, I mean, you go, you have dinner.
Yeah,
so we had dinner from like 6 to 8.
Right.
So it's like a slow process, which
that's
is nice.
A slow dinner, yeah.
It's nice because, I mean, there were 6 of us. It was nice. I mean, we have family dinner every Sunday, but so we just all caught up, and then we went to like 3 magic shows. I will say this. The magic shows I saw last night were not as great as the ones I've seen before.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. And you'd expect something big out of the Magic Castle, right?
Well, I think, you know, every night is different. There's always different magicians there, and it depends what night you go. And I don't really know the magician world that well to know what nights to go, and we went because it was my cousin's birthday.
Right.
So we didn't really have an option of what night to pick.
Okay, but so you weren't impressed with the magic.
No.
All in all, did you have fun though?
Oh, I had a great time. I always have fun with my family. And there's a photographer that is roaming around the Magic Castle, and he takes pictures. So if you buy a picture, and which we did, you get another pass for like 8 people to come another night.
Wow.
So we ended up buying 3 pictures, which means we can go 3 more times.
Wow. Yeah. All of you?
Yeah. We'll go together.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And how much were the pictures?
It's $20.
So it's not too bad.
No, because, I mean, a lot of places, you know, will sell a picture for $20 and you get nothing.
Right.
Other than
exactly.
Picture.
Yeah.
This, you get to come back.
Yeah. They know how to entice you
well,
to buy them.
Well, it's smart because it's a very expensive experience to go to the Magic Castle.
Yeah.
It's $30 per person entry. Then you have to eat dinner. Right. And at the dinner, you have to spend a minimum of like $40 a person.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Each person has to order an entree. So then, of course, you add in the, you know, appetizers, drinks, dessert, and then you're at $100 a person.
And then
more.
The slicing of the cake as well.
Well, we didn't end up
$5.
Doing that. We didn't end up. We ordered their cake.
Yeah.
They give you one complimentary birthday slice of cheesecake. So we ordered a couple extra things. It was nice. Yeah.
Wow, $40 a person. And that's just for the food.
Right.
That doesn't count the drinks or anything, right?
Right.
Yeah. So. Yeah, that's pretty pricey. But, you know, I guess it's worth it, right?
I think that if you like magic and you want a fun experience that's different than any other, then yes.
Yeah.
It's not for everybody, but I love it. And my family, we all had a great time.
Now, do you eat while there's magic going on?
No.
No.
You eat before.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Or you go and then you eat, you see magic and then you eat after. Like, it just depends what seating you're at. We were at the 6 p.m. seating.
Were there a lot of people there?
Yeah,
there were. Really?
Well, it was also Easter, so people like went with families and stuff and did that as their Easter event.
Yeah.
It was decorated with Easter decorations. It was kind of weird.
Yeah.
There was a lot of pastel and then a lot of magic.
Really?
Yeah. It's a really cool place, though.
Yeah, it sounds like it, you know. And, I mean, many places were closed yesterday, you know, especially here in the Valley. So I drove out to Hollywood. Everything's open there.
Yeah.
You know?
Of course.
So just the sleepy valley here. Nobody wants to work, I guess, on a holiday.
Makes sense. I mean,
I mean, some big stores like the malls and things like that are closed.
Well, it also costs more money to keep it open because you have to pay people overtime or double time, whatever holiday
pay.
That's
true, double time, right?
I think it's either double time or time and a half.
Right. Time and a half, I think, is usually for overtime.
Yeah.
Like, but holidays, I remember at least when I was a teenager and I worked for the phone company, it was, it was holidays and weekends and things like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But you're right. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it would cost them a lot. But I went to Hollywood. I bought a couple of pairs of shoes.
From where?
It's called Off-Broadway.
Okay.
Have you heard of it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, it's supposed to be like inexpensive shoes, but they're still very expensive because they have brand names.
Right.
So, you know, at least like, you know, $100 a pair, which I guess for brand names, it's not too bad.
No.
But I just don't like spending a lot of money on shoes. You know, to me, I picture shoes between $60 to $100, you know.
Yeah.
So that's about what I spent. And, I decided I'm going to start dressing up more every day, even during the week.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Because, I don't know. I like dressing nice. And I mean, I enjoy, even when I dress casual, I dress nice. But the bottom line is that I want to wear more than just jeans every day. And it'll be kind of tough in the summer, though, to dress like that.
Yes.
But, you know, with long sleeve or anything. But we'll see. Tomorrow I'm going to dress up because we have a special guest. And that's a special guest. You have to remember that because he's a reporter from the San Fernando Valley Business Journal, which is a pretty well-read publication here in L.A. And he's going to do an article on us. He's going to do a story. And I invited him to be on the show as well. So I have to be prepared and dress nice for the pictures.
Me too.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to tell you that. And so he's going to do a story on the station, and I'm really excited about that. So, and then plus, you know, over the weekend when I dressed up nicely for Passover, everybody like just complimented me and how great I looked. And I thought, well, why don't I dress like this every day, you know?
Yeah.
I remember I used to work for a travel company, and I would wear suits every day, and I loved it. You know, I mean, I was like 20, 21 years old. But I remember, you know why? I remember what inspired me. There was a show, Dynasty, on TV.
Yeah.
And everybody would always dress in suits there because they were like all rich people working in oil. You know, but I loved being in suits, and I started wearing them every day. And it was a great feeling, you know. I think when you dress nice, you dress cool, it makes you feel good.
It does. Well, that's what they say about business, is that when you look the part, you feel the part.
Yeah.
So people take themselves more seriously at work. They work a little bit harder. It's a different, like, air that they're presenting.
Right.
So that's why a lot of companies still ask people to dress up.
Yeah. I know. And it's yeah, you're right. It helps the self-esteem, the confidence. And that's what people want, you know. Companies want positive employees.
Right. Well, and hardworking, so.
Right. So, yeah, you know, and, yeah, so, you know, I'm going to start dressing up, you know, not like going to a wedding or anything, but, you know, a nice blouse and dress pants.
Nice.
And my new shoes.
Great.
So I just need to do some shopping. And as you know, men are not crazy about shopping for clothes. So, you know, I mean, once I do it, I enjoy it. But to bring myself to do it takes a lot. But now I have to. So I'm going to go and do some shopping for clothes and stuff. But yeah. And
what's happening with your Tinder dates?
Nothing, man. It's dried up like crazy. Yeah. I just got... there was a rekindling of a connection from a few days ago that I totally forgot. I told this woman I was going to call her. So she just texted me, and she's like, I hope you had a nice holiday and everything. And we'll see. You know, the other one traveled out of town, and not much happened there. So we'll see. But all in all, I don't know why people say Tinder's for hookups, because every profile that I see says no hookups.
Right. Well, then that's also probably your age group.
Right. It's the age as well, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the younger people are able to hook up just fine with that.
I think it's also a matter of what people want. And you tend to find people that you want to find that want the same things.
Right. So some people, do you think youngsters take it seriously too, Tinder? Or...
I don't know that I can generalize it. I think it's whatever you're looking for.
Right.
So.
That's true. Men always look for hookups. What are you talking about?
I can't speak for them.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, we love to, you know, I mean, we enjoy relationships and everything. Don't get me wrong. I mean, obviously half of the people in relationships are men.
Yes.
Right? So, but... You know, it's like it doesn't matter what situation it is, you know. I mean, there's a beautiful woman in the room, and men, their thinking just goes to that. So it was funny because I saw there was a teaser on CNN.com about, I don't know why our guest is not calling in. I hope he's able to get through. Let me just restart this just in case it's not working, just to make sure that we're okay with this. That he's trying to call and that the lines are open. Sometimes you don't know. It kind of gets stuck.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I'm eagerly waiting for him to call. At any rate, so about relationships. So there was a teaser on CNN.com, something like, I forget what it was. But it was a teaser, so I clicked on it, and there's an article about a totally professional and legitimate research and science that showed how to get through to women by asking them three innocuous questions. And they're saying you bypass their rejection area in their brain, and you get straight to... So it's like no matter what woman you're with, and if you just... ask her those three questions. She'll want to go to bed with you.
Okay. What are those questions?
All right. So I clicked on that, right? Yeah. Takes you to a website that looks suspiciously like something they're trying to sell you. So, but there's a video. And the video is actually just of screens of text. But it's pretty much just like the transcription of what he's saying. So, at any rate, he's talking and promising and telling you how the scientists are legitimate and everything, and how people don't want this to be, how the scientists don't want this to be like something that men use against women and things like that, right?
Okay.
Really built it up and stuff.
Yeah.
And then, but this thing is taking a long time, and I'm like, you know, I'm starting to really think about what's going on here, because they don't let you stop the video. There's nothing else. So you have to watch the entire video to find out what's going on. Then during the middle of it, he's like, you know, out of nowhere, he's like, well, to contact me, email me at this and this. And then he keeps on going. So I realized this is a selling scheme. And he's just like doing what, if you notice, I don't know if you notice some websites, they're only one page and they really try to sell you stuff. So it's like, you know, just like those TV ads, you know. So wait, you don't only get this for $199, right, but you're going to get this and that and
so
money back.
So he never
told guarantee.
You the three questions.
So the thing is that I realized this is like this page. It's like he's constantly teasing you and making you wait. And then it occurred to me, whatever it is, he's not going to give it to me for free. And also he was saying how, and this is what got me. He says, I'm only interested in a few people to do research with, and then we're going to take it down. We don't want this to go viral or anything. We don't want everybody to know. And I thought, you know, this sounds suspicious to me. This is bullshit. So at that point, I said, you know what, Jen? I don't even know how much longer this video is going to go, because there's no progress bar or anything. So I thought, the hell with it. So I turned it off and left the site.
That was it?
Yeah. That was it. So I don't know, but I'm pretty sure he doesn't give you the answers there. And I'm sure it's going to cost quite a bit of money, because he started mentioning how they have like seminars that cost upwards of $10,000 and people are dying to go, blah, blah, blah. So I realized it's just a sales pitch. But what puzzled me is that it was linked to from an article that seemed legitimate.
Yeah.
You know, it was linked to from CNN.com. But I don't know. So maybe they were talking more about the video, but they didn't mention anything about this being like a selling trick or something.
Yeah.
You know.
And we still don't know what the three questions are.
No, we don't know. And it sounds like bullshit, obviously. It doesn't happen that way.
Right.
Yeah. Women are pretty selective.
I think we should be.
Yeah.
Standards are probably important.
Yeah. I know. I just can't imagine a life, you know, when you're a hot chick and stuff, and you're like never alone. Nobody ever leaves you alone, you know. Everywhere you go, I guess people hit on you and stuff like that. You know, it's like, can you really have a normal life? It's almost like a celebrity. Don't you think?
No.
No? Okay.
Because I think that there's so many attractive people in the world. It's not like...
No, I know. But look, I mean, the thing is this. Look, when you just see like a hot chick picture on Facebook, 200, 300 likes, it's like, come on, you know. You know it's all from the men or maybe friends of the woman or
right,
something.
Right, but that person also posted that picture.
Yeah.
So they want that.
Yeah.
They want the feedback. They want the validation.
No, I know. But what I'm saying is people pay attention and people notice.
Oh, well, of course.
You know, sometimes I like to watch drivers. So if there's like a pretty woman walking on the sidewalk, I look at other drivers to see whether they're looking at her or not.
Yeah.
And all the time, you know, I mean, you can have like car after car and they turn their heads and look, you know. So that's what I mean. I mean, men think about sex all the time. You know, and it's painful sometimes. You know, you don't want to think about it all the time. But it's tough. You can't have all the women in the world.
No, definitely not.
Unless you're Brad Pitt. But he's not interested.
He only has one.
So. Yeah, he's not interested in all of them.
Nope.
I'm sure he's had his day in the sun, too. right?
I mean, he seems to be that he was a relationship guy. Because right. every time we heard about him in the news, he was always dating
That's
someone
true, huh?
or married.
Yeah. So who's a player? Who's one that's taking advantage of his... I guess they all end up in relationships, huh?
Yeah, at some point.
Yeah. I know. I mean, look. You know, who do we have that's a young, popular actor now? A lot of them, I guess,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, there's a bunch.
Yeah. There's, well, Ryan Reynolds, right? We have Ryan Gosling.
Married.
Married. Bradley Cooper, right? He's young.
And just got out of a relationship. I think he's now starting another one.
Yeah. 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 I guess. I don't know. Yeah, everybody wants to settle down eventually. Huh?
Yeah, eventually.
Yeah.
Or at least for the time being.
Yeah.
And then they find their next relationship.
Yeah. I can't, you know, I mean, I bet you like people like rock stars. I mean, they get laid a lot. Like Adam Levine. I mean, every woman that I talk to, oh, he's so hot. He's so hot. And I mean, I love their music. But and I'm not crazy about tattoos, but I can see where they would like him, you know. And he settled down too, right?
Yep.
He just recently settled down. So I guess, I don't know, maybe they get tired of it after a while, of anonymous sex and you know.
I guess. That's what they're doing.
Tired of that, yeah.
I don't know. I think that it's more like a human nature to want to settle down.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know that we're necessarily a monogamous race, but because, well, monogamy, I think, takes a lot of effort because I'll tell you why. I don't think, like, monogamy is a stable relationship. And I'll tell you why. Because all our lives, when, okay, well, I'm talking just about straight people for a moment. But all your life, you're attracted to the other sex. You know, you look, you're attracted, you fantasize, whatever it is, you fall in love with the other sex. And then when you settle down, suddenly you're supposed to stop. You're supposed to stop being attracted to other people. And I don't think that's a natural thing. So what happens is it requires a lot of self-control, obviously, a lot of commitment to your relationship and everything. But it's still there. And I'm not just saying just men, women too. You know, I mean, you don't just automatically one day stop being attracted to the other sex. So, and that's why you have cheating, you have, you know, open relationships, things like that. Because people realize, gee, I can't control myself, you know. But I think we gravitate to that because it's part of our culture. I think it preserves a society when you have marriage and families.
And I think also, I mean, the benefits outweigh the negatives.
Yeah. Definitely. But that's why you have to realize marriage is hard work. Monogamy is hard work.
It is.
You know, you have to fight some instincts that you have. But, you know, and that's why I say, you know, if you feel you can't control yourself, get out of the relationship first and then go
with
other people. You know, I just don't believe in like cheating because it's so painful to the other person.
Right.
And it involves lying.
And you don't always recover from that. So just get out before you have to, like, try and fix it.
Right.
Yeah. Also, if you want to fix something with someone, you probably shouldn't hurt them in the first place.
Exactly, you know. But some people, I think they don't look when you're... when you meet someone hot and you're all hot and bothered about them and stuff, it's hard to think straight. But that's why you have to make rules for yourself and create certain values for yourself where you know doesn't matter what situation you're in or just don't put yourself in that situation in the first place.
Yeah.
Right?
Definitely.
Yeah. So I'm proud to say I never cheated on anyone in my relationships. I was cheated on early on in my life, so it kind of left a scar. But that's a good thing, you know. So, I mean, at least I'm loyal and people can trust me in that way.
Yes. You know, and I think that it myself. Does boil down to trust because trust is everything.
Yeah. You know, and when you're with someone and stuff, especially in the beginning, you don't really look at other people. You feel content, you know. You found somebody. You have a relationship. You guys love each other and all that. And enjoy that, you know, because eventually it wears off.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, people still love each other into old age, but It's not, obviously it's not the same. There's no more butterflies. There's no more like romance to speak of, I don't think, when you become like, you know. Well, although, you know, I think older people supposedly have sex too and everything. But it becomes a different kind of love, you know.
Right.
And there are different kinds of loves. There are so many different kinds of love that you have to be able to distinguish between them, you know. And I think when you find your soulmate or your spouse for the rest of your life, that's the kind of love you develop. But still, there's attraction to other people.
Right. Well, you know, we have eyes.
Yes, we do.
So.
And we have libidos, too.
I mean, I think it's also okay to appreciate that there are attractive people in the world, but what's more wonderful about that is that you choose to be with the person you're with.
Right.
So.
I know. Except I don't get people that say, oh, you know, I mean, it's, a, you know, yeah, so I cheat or I have sex with other people, but I come back to him at night. It's like, come on, you know, I mean, like, yeah, I don't know. That's like open relationships or, you know, like porn stars and stuff. To them, it's like they're able to separate the two.
Right. I mean, I wouldn't be able to do that, but I...
Yeah.
Everybody's different.
No, so. It is, you know. I mean, look, some people look at sex as strictly a romantic thing. But for some people, sex, and for many men especially, sex is just like playing around, you know. It's just like a game, like adults play. You know, just like kids play, adults play. It doesn't. There doesn't have to be love there for there to be pleasure or satisfaction or anything, you know. So some people are able to separate that and some cannot, you know. Although, you know, in a committed relationship, I don't care why you had sex with somebody else outside the marriage. I'm not going to take you back. It doesn't matter if there was love or you just don't play with other people when you're in a relationship.
Well, I think it's a matter of trust.
Yeah.
Right.
No, I know. Yeah. I know. But it's like your decision whether you're going to do it or not. You know, and some people decide, yeah, I'm going to do it.
Right.
You know, they have websites like Ashley Madison that enable people to cheat, to find people that are looking for sex outside their relationships.
Right.
You know, so apparently there are a lot of people looking for that. You know, but to me, it's like, and especially today, Jen, you know, with no privacy and everything, I don't know how anybody can get away with cheating.
And it's great that they can't.
Right? I mean, everything that you do is documented.
Right.
You know, credit cards, things like that. So you have to live with cash. And even cash can be traced down unless you're rich and you know how to hide your money from.
It's a lot of work to have lies and secrets.
Right. It is a lot of work.
It's like more work than it is to just be an honest, good person in a relationship.
Exactly. Or just end the relationship and go and play the field, you know, if that's what you want to do. But there's just too much lying going on. And I think that's what betrays a relationship, when you start lying to your loved one.
Well, because you break trust.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I know. I know. But what amazes me is how some people are able to take back cheating spouses.
More power to them. I wouldn't be able to.
I know. I wouldn't either. But some people do, you know. Maybe, I think mostly to preserve the family, probably.
Yeah. I mean, if you have a family and there's more at stake, fine. I just still don't think. Here's the thing. I think that if you cheat and you have a family, that the other person still has time in their life to go start a new family or to, like, find love with the right person.
Right.
And somebody that won't do that to them. So you don't have to stay together for any particular reason. I don't think anybody has to stay together.
Yeah.
So I think it's a choice. If you want to, fine. But you don't have to. Right. So to say we have to do it for the kid or we have to do it for the family or there's too much at stake or whatever it is, that's not true. You still have so much time in your life that you can have a happy life.
Yeah. And just like in any other divorce situations, the kids are probably going to suffer more from the tension, you know, and the bickering and the fighting than they would if you just split up.
Right. And then to see your parent in a happy relationship and with somebody that is loyal and trustworthy and lovely, then that's a way better thing for them to see than to stay in a bad relationship.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I know. So, yeah, I mean, you know, people do all kinds of things and stuff. And like you said, more power to them. You know, I would never take back a cheating spouse. Never.
I wouldn't take back a cheating anything. Yeah. Not like in a relationship and anything.
Right.
You do it once, what's to say you won't do it again? And also, like, I don't know. You thought it was okay. You did it. Your actions can't be trusted because you aren't accountable. Like, you thought you'd get away with it, or you thought it was okay that one time.
Yeah, it's like you thought low of me in so many different ways. Why would I stay with you?
Right.
Yeah. I know. And I think I read somewhere that men take it harder if a woman cheats than a woman. But and I'll tell you why, because they say that women are more emotional about their the relationship outside the marriage. So the man thinks, God, she's in love with this guy, whereas for the woman she realizes, okay, well, you know, the guy just had sex, he probably didn't feel anything for the woman,
right.
Which is sometimes true, but those are generalizations, of course, you know, stereotypes. But at the same time, I think also because guys maybe feel more possessive of a woman or something, you know.
Yeah, I don't know.
A lot of different reasons. But what I don't understand is people that go and hurt each other physically after an affair or something, you know. I mean, they go and they kill the cheating person and their lover and whatever, you know. I mean, that's a little drastic.
People have anger issues sometimes. So.
Yeah, because they're controlling, you know. I mean, when you're a controlling person, it's hard to lose control of the other person.
Yeah.
You know.
It's also like fear of, like, I don't know, just living without them, fear of everything. I just think that people do crazy things when they're afraid.
Yeah.
And when, also afraid of losing control.
Right.
So.
When they're afraid or when they're really horny, they do stupid things too. I mean, look at all these, like, they're just celebrities, but politicians and people that were caught in sex scandals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, and you go, how could he risk his career for that? Well, you know, that's the thing. When all the blood goes down below, you don't think straight, you know. It leaves your head and goes to the other head. So you don't think straight. But it's true. It's true. And, you know, and why apologize for it? I mean, the thing is, nature made us that way, and we're supposed to overcome that, you know. But, I mean, I don't apologize for being attracted to the other sex. And if I think about sex all the time, well, I don't apologize for that either, because there's nothing I can do about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's see what's going on. I guess... Remember the guy that really, he didn't coin the term, but I think he sort of like caused it to happen, revenge porn. This guy had a website where he allowed people to post nude pictures and videos of anybody, really. And people would do that, upload videos and pictures of their former wives or girlfriends, post their real names, even links to Facebook.
Yikes.
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine? I don't know how a person can do that when you share the same bed with somebody else. But then again, people do all kinds of crazy things. All you have to do is look at divorces and how people treat each other.
Yeah.
So, but obviously, there weren't laws about this before, but they made laws about it now, revenge porn laws. And I guess, so not only that, but then he created another site where he was extorting people, saying, okay, you want us to take the pictures down, you have to pay us.
Oh, yeah. That's illegal.
Yeah, that's very illegal. So this guy ended up 18 years in prison.
Good.
Yeah, huh?
Yeah.
He definitely deserves that. I mean, 21 counts, 6 counts of extortion and 21 counts of identity theft. Wow.
I wonder how they come up with, like, the 18 year. Like, why 18 years?
Well, I'll tell you why. Because each sentence has, like, a range of, you know, like, let's say, okay. Like, they're saying the maximum was 23 years and he got 18. Okay, the way they, like, the same question is I used to ask, how can people have, like, a few life sentences, right?
Yeah.
I mean, one is enough. But the thing is that every crime, every charge carries its own punishment. So, you know, if you kill two people, that's two life sentences right there.
Right.
So what that means is that even if you're up for parole, forget about it because you got all these other sentences to serve.
Right. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. So let's say he was just charged with one thing, that then he could be up for parole or whatever, you know, but not in this case here. So then they start adding them up and they get a number, I guess.
All right. Well,
yeah.
18 years it is.
Yeah, you'll have a long time to think about this.
Yeah.
You know, and what's scary about this stuff is always also think like, you know, people that try to get away with things and they think they left it all behind, like Bill Cosby and stuff, you know. The stuff that he did was a long time ago, you know. I'm sure he even forgot about it. And then suddenly all this stuff resurfaces and you go, my God, now I have to serve 18 years on something that I did 40 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, you really have to think about what you do, man, because it's going to chase you down until you die.
Things bite you in the ass. I mean, that's why I always say people hang themselves.
Yeah.
Because it always comes back up. I mean, Robert Durst is a great example. What is he, 75 years old, going to jail now for killing three people?
Yeah. I know. Yeah, it never goes away.
No.
Never goes away. I guess you didn't get to see any movies this weekend, right?
I don't really go to the movie theater.
Really busy. You don't go to the theater? You just watch it on video, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't been to a movie in a while, but I enjoy going to the theater. But I guess Furious 7 made $143 million. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
You know, I mean, many movies that cost a lot more make a lot less.
Yeah. So, I mean,
that's a lot of money.
I'm sure it helped to have all the publicity surrounding Paul Walker's
death.
Paul
Walker, right.
Plus, people love that franchise. I mean, you don't even have to sell it. People will go.
Right. Have you seen any of them?
I think I've seen the first, like, two or three.
Oh, okay. I've never seen even one.
They're good.
Are they pretty good?
For what they are, they're great. Yeah. I mean, they're action-packed. The characters are interesting. They're all attractive. And
yeah.
And the cast just keeps on growing, and it's
yeah,
you know, it's a great cast.
Yeah.
So there's something for everybody in there.
That's true. And I guess they did some special effects with Paul Walker's face. Did you hear about
brother,
that?
I think
his brother stood in for him, but then they put CGI as the head on the brother.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's some tricky stuff.
It's pretty crazy what they can do. I mean, they also as far as like technology goes, they make holograms of people. You know, have you seen those holograms?
Yeah, yeah.
So they can bring somebody back from the dead. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. Wow. I know. The future kind of scares me, but I don't think we're going to see a really terrible future in our lifetime. But I think, you know, when machines... I mean, maybe I'm watching too many science fiction movies, but you know what? It all seems to point to the fact that machines are going to be a lot smarter than humans. I mean, already, you know, they're superior to us in so many different ways. The machines that we're creating.
I mean, I'm okay with it as long as it doesn't like eradicate human beings.
Well, that's the thing. If the machines think for themselves, they could rise up on us.
And that's very like Terminator, but
it is.
Also, I think that they help in a lot of ways. And, you know,
obviously,
people can say that the future is bad or good or whatever you want to label it. But at the same time, I feel like we're building things that probably will help.
Right. Well, will help and also be dangerous, too. I mean, everything that we created that's positive, somebody found something negative to do with it.
But that's a person doing something negative with it.
Right.
Versus the machine itself.
Right. But, I mean, if the machine feels it's... You know, that's what I'm saying. I mean, artificial intelligence will make the machine come up with its own ideas and stuff, you know. I mean, like I said, it's so very science fiction, but the movie The Matrix is also about the same thing. So, about the machines turning on human beings. And, you know, I mean, I don't know if it's going to turn out or not, but you're right. I think the biggest enemy we have is human beings.
Right.
Other human beings.
Exactly.
That want us all dead.
It's the most, this is why trust is so important, is because if you trust somebody, you are relying on them to always be good or to, right. you know, do things as they should. But then there are people that cannot be trusted that go and do whatever they want.
Yeah.
And that's the scariest thing. You cannot count on them. You cannot rely on them to be consistent. You can't. They're unpredictable.
Yeah. I know. I hate being with people like that because you don't know. I mean, you don't know who you're dealing with. You
exactly.
Don't know. Yeah.
That's scary.
Yeah.
That's true. I did actually watch part of the Scientology film on HBO this weekend.
How was that?
Fascinating.
Really?
Oh, my God. I need to see the rest of it, but it was the part I did see was so fascinating.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I read a book on it. And it was, it was fascinating to me, too, to read about that. But I'd like to see that show.
Yeah.
So is it like, is it running again or is
I'm
it
sure.
like in a few parts?
It's probably also on demand if you yeah. have HBO.
Yeah.
It's so interesting because it's people that have defected from Scientology talking about what their experiences were like.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, people that were Scientologists for 27 years.
Right.
Coming out about what everything was that they dealt with and like what level they got to in Scientology, because that's like what it's about. It's about getting to higher levels of enlightenment, but you pay to get through each level.
Right.
So, you know, once you get to a certain level, they show you a different thing and then they introduce you to a different thing. And then I guess by the time somebody got to like the highest level, they were like, wait, that just doesn't make any sense.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah.
After spending a lot of money.
Spending a lot of money, believing in something for so long, and then you're just shown something that's like out of this world, and you're literally like, I can't believe I just spent 27 years doing this.
Yeah.
This makes no sense at all. How could I have believed in something that was like so unfounded in like craziness?
Yeah.
One person's decision of what a religion should be.
Right.
So it's like a cult.
It is. It is. It is.
It's fascinating, though.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure. Cults are fascinating anyway, you know, when you think about one person being able to influence so many to do crazy things.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's easy when you think about, like ISIS, how you say, like, people that feel marginalized, like,
right.
that they want to go be part of something because they feel like they're not part of anything.
Right.
So.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I mean, you know, these are people that look for...
weak people.
Yeah. I know. Well, our guest apparently is not calling in today, and I'm sure something happened or came up or something.
Yeah.
Because he was really excited to be on the show. So we're going to reschedule him for another day. Tomorrow we're going to have the writer here, so that will be cool. Let's see. Oops. You good there? Oh, as long as you didn't spill, you're okay.
Oh.
Sometimes people spill drinks here and it makes my heart just, you know, drop.
Yeah. So who else do we have this week?
I don't remember, really. We still have to fill up Thursday and Friday, but I'm sure it's going to happen very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of people wanting to be on the show, so it's really cool. And I started reading our guests or... The one that was supposed to be our guest today, I started reading the book, and it's fascinating to me. So let me just plug it while we're here. The book is called The Killing Rituals, Espionage and Terrorism Thriller, and it's pretty cool, by Nir Zamir. You guys can find it on Amazon. And if you're into espionage and the Mossad and CIA and all that stuff, all that intrigue, you're going to enjoy it a great deal. I've been, like I said, I've read quite a bit of it, and it's pretty fun. So we're going to talk to Nir Zamir probably later on this week. And thank you all for joining us. By the way, I added this thing on our website if you guys want to join. It's kind of like a mini Facebook for our website, and people can log in with Facebook and talk among each other and stuff and have private conversations and upload videos and pictures. And
cool.
So it's pretty cool. Yeah, you guys can find it. Just go to the website. But you have to be on your computer. They don't have a mobile version yet. And there's like a little bubble on the lower left, so you guys can go and join us there. Anyway, thank you all so much for joining us. Jen, have a great week.
Thanks, you too.
And I know I'm sort of like wishing it to both of us, uh-huh. Not that you're leaving or anything, but yeah, let's wish all ourselves a great week, and we'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.